What's up, everybody? This is Jack Roth. Welcome back to episode 3 of Real Estate Roundup. I am your podcast host, your next real estate agent, and today I am your land development newscaster. We're going to be talking about some developments in Southlake, how Las Colinas has turned into a ginormous business center of the Metroplex. And again, we're going to go over mortgage rates because we have another update on those. They have shifted around a little bit since the last time we talked about them. So strap in, buckle up, whatever you got to do. It's Friday. I hope you're having a great day today. We're going to get straight into it. It's another quick episode today, probably about 10 minutes or so. And let's go. So we're talking about Southlake again. I believe we talked about Southlake in my first episode when we were going over the median household income of Southlake at $240,000, naming it the wealthiest city in Texas, which is amazing. And now we're talking about some land developments. There's a 42-acre project kind of just northeast of 114 and North Whitechapel Boulevard, scheduled to break ground by the end of April or early May. This project's been in the works for quite a while now. It's going to be a European inspired kind of business, very similar to Highland Park Village, I would say. Kind of a tourist attraction in a sense. It's going to have a lot of local restaurants, businesses. There's some condos being planned in the works too. And there are some single family homes that are reserved that are going to be quite luxurious with a average price of 1.5 to 2.5 million, which fits the Southlake bill pretty well. This project has been in the works for almost 20 years now. The city originally approved the developer in 2008, actually, but it was never kind of realized because of the economic downturn and everything. And the recession of 2008. And so it's kind of sat vacant for a while, but, the Hunter Chase Development Partners acquired the property in 2019 with a new plan to break ground in June 2020. However, we know how 2020 went, and there was a bit of an issue. There was a pandemic that happened, and it kind of set everything back. So with a development of this size, of course, this is going to take years for everything to kind of realize. And now we are finally getting some news that this is going to start moving. Apparently, there's going to be 79 single family lots in the northern 16 acres of the development. And like I said, they're going to be listed in the $1.5 to $2.5 million range with six custom high-end home builders that are going to tackle this project. There's going to be a big fountain with synchronized lights, music, and motion. Sounds very Vegas to me. Sounds like it'll get a decent bit of attention. And the plan for this whole development is that there's going to be no vehicular traffic. This is going to be a large open walking space. There's going to be a 9-acre park added to the center, and it's the goal of this whole thing is for it to be an environment for kids, citizen, all kind of folks to come visit, come shop, eat at the restaurants and everything. They are saying that there's going to be no chain restaurants or retailers in the center, but instead they're going to focus on chef-driven or locally owned kind of businesses. In addition to all of this exciting news, they're going to have 2 4-to-6-story office buildings with an estimated 250,000 square feet of office space. And the project is estimated to bring in about $400 million in taxable value for the city. So that'll be super exciting to see. I'm sure we're still, you know, a good ways out from seeing this, actually turn into anything tangible that we can go visit, but it is interesting to kind of keep an eye on these things because, as we know, when developments start going up and everything, they start driving business and tourists. That just kind of helps our case even a little bit more here in DFW, where people are moving here for the city itself and not necessarily just because it's a job. You know, I think that it's going to be really interesting to see where Dallas is headed in the next 10 to 15 years. You know, as we have some more of these developments start to break ground, start to take place, where we've got outdoor space, we've got, you know, dedicated parks, no vehicular traffic. That's a big thing here in Dallas. It's a very car-based city. And so it'll be really interesting to see how some of these development centers and kind of complexes navigate the whole no vehicular traffic thing. So that's it for South Lake. I just thought that that was a really interesting, project that's going to be taken on. It seems like it's going to be pretty cool. I've seen a couple of the renderings and everything, and it looks beautiful. It looks like it's really going to fit the bill kind of for South Lake. And the goal is for them not to compete with the South Lake Square already, but more or less to add to it and kind of, you know, turn it into just another thing that you can visit when you're on that side of the city. Speaking of cities and everything, Las Colinas is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, which is super exciting. I actually used to live out in Las Colinas, and it's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful, I guess, city, you could say. And it has quickly become the largest epicenter of businesses and workers, specifically college-educated workers, according to the Dallas News report that I'm reading, with 150,000 employees in Las Colinas compared to 120,000 in downtown Dallas. Las Colinas is massive. It's 12,000 acres. And like I said, it's been in development since 1973. And the original investment into Las Colinas, it was a large ranch that this family owned. It was about $200 million in 1974. Today, just the land alone would be about $1 billion. But the current tax value of Las Colinas as a total is about $13 billion. It has grown exponentially for the last 50 years. And we're seeing a lot of really, really big businesses move into Las Colinas, as it is so central. For everybody that knows Dallas, you know that downtown is not the center of the city. It might be downtown, but it's pretty far from everything. Las Colinas is kind of right in the middle in between DFW and Love Field Airport. And so it's a perfect location for businesses, especially if people are having to travel back and forth. It's located next to a lot of the big freeways here, 35, 114. You know, those will get you pretty much anywhere. And in 1976, the first two large corporations moved to Las Colinas. That was Allstate Insurance and Associates Core. Since then, businesses have grown, like I said, exponentially. Right now in the works, they've got a campus that they're building for Wells Fargo, and it's projected to be, 840,000 square feet. It's a $400 million project, and they are expecting more than 3,000 employees to be housed in or near Las Colinas by 2025. So I think that'll be really exciting to see, this Wells Fargo campus come to fruition and see all of these new employees moving in or near Las Colinas. Out of the 12,000 acres that is Las Colinas, there's only about 400 to 450 total acres left for development, which might seem like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, Las Colinas is pretty full as far as the land that they have left that they can actually work with for new projects and everything. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those, whether that's going to be some more businesses or if they're going to move into maybe some higher density housing to accommodate the growing number of employees there. And speaking of housing and single family homes, especially, I told you guys that we were going to talk about some mortgage rates because we've got some updates from last week. So last week I talked about the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and how that temporarily pushed mortgage rates down into the high fives, which was fantastic. I think that allowed a lot of buyers to lock in their rates for the next 30 to 90 days. So they're going to be shopping in this summer market, which again, just reiterating, I think we're going to have an extremely strong spring and summer market just due to the odd combination of things that we've got happening with mortgage rates right now, and just a general sense of confidence that seems to be growing each week with buyers especially. Rates are up a little bit, but still trending downwards. They're up from last week, but still trending downwards in the grand scheme of things. As of yesterday, we're seeing rates at about 6.42% for a 30-year mortgage and about 5.68% for a 15-year mortgage. So that's really exciting. That means we're headed in the right direction. We were in the sevens at the beginning of this year, so we're about a percent below that now. The 15-year has broken that 6%, kind of baseline, and we're below that. So that's trending in the right direction. And it seems like even though there was a recent rate hike, that mortgage rates are going to continue to fall throughout the rest of the year, like I said last week. So it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of ties into everything and how it ends up playing out. because, you know, I can't tell the future. I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately, but it is really interesting to kind of see how some of these predictions are pretty spot on. And then we've got some wild news like a bank collapsing, and it just drives that narrative even further. You would think it would do the opposite, but this temporary or the temporary push down in rates was amazing. Like I said last week, for every 1% the rates come down, we can expect 5 million buyers to enter the market nationwide. And with Dallas being the huge metroplex that it is and the huge growing business entity that it is, especially with developments in Southlake and Las Colinas adding thousands of employees, we can expect our market here to remain fairly strong and fairly, I guess you could say, adverse to changes in the market nationwide. So let's see how it plays out. That's all I've got for you guys today. Like I said, it was going to be a quick episode, you know, kind of just recapping some of these things. I don't always have the most exciting news to come up with, but I want to keep you guys informed on everything that I am reading. And as far as my personal business, I wanted to let you guys know that I will be moving over to the TBR Property Group. Still within the same brokerage and everything. I will not be moving brokers. I'm still with RE/MAX. I love it here and I wouldn't change that for anything, but I will be joining a team to help with some of the camaraderie. As you know, working as a real estate agent, I work for myself, by myself, from home. So it gets a little lonely sometimes. So I decided that I was going to join a team to kind of help combat that a little bit and put me into a space where I can collaborate with other wicked smart agents, and you know, we can all put our heads together and come up with some solutions and everything so that we can help serve our clients to the best of our abilities. So I'm super excited for that. That's going to be happening in the next couple weeks here. I'm just getting paperwork and everything, you know, worked out right now. There's a lot of paperwork in this industry, a lot of agreements, a lot of contracts and everything. So just making sure I got all of that sorted out is going to be huge. But I am super excited. The team leader, Joey Stanberry, is an amazing realtor. He's an amazing friend. We just met recently, but we hit it off and we think very similarly. So I'm excited to see what we can come up with when we stick our brains together. And, you know, hopefully we can come up with some new and exciting ideas for this changing market. One of the other things I wanted to touch on really quick, it wasn't in today's touch points or anything like that, or talking points, I should say, but I recently was reading a post about real estate agents, you know, as one does. It was asking the question, are real estate agents a thing of the past? And that got me thinking. So I kind of read through some of the comments and some of the material in this post. And the general consensus was that no, real estate agents are not a thing of the past. I'm sure many of you have seen similar discussions. I don't know if I'm hyper aware of it just because it is my industry or if it is a more general topic, but it does always interest me to hear the opinions of others, you know, on what kind of they think of real estate agents. It seems to be a very divided opinion. Some people are very pro realtor and some people are very anti realtor for different reasons, and it varies across the board. But the general consensus in this discussion was that no, realtors are not obsolete. You know, they're still a much needed asset, I guess you could say. The role of a real estate agent is changing, however, because we do have things like Realtor.com and Zillow and Trulia and Opendoor, where clients are more able to kind of find homes and show homes themselves. But as a realtor, my job is to provide you with the resources to make your transaction as smooth as possible, to act on your behalf when we do get to the offer stage or the negotiating stage. And as an agent, I do have a legal fiduciary responsibility to you as soon as we sign paperwork. So I will always be acting in your best interest financially. That's what that means. Your fiduciary responsibility means that I need to act in your best interest financially at all times, you know, without question. And so that really, you know, that helps a lot. It kind of eases my mind in terms of these things, because there are a lot of people that don't necessarily know the ins and outs of real estate. Here in Texas, at least, it is the hardest state to get your license in. We've got some of the craziest property laws and everything. And there's a lot of details to go through it. So your real estate agent is more than the person sending you, you know, paperwork to sign or showing you a house. We do actually have legal responsibilities, and we do have to know property law and contract law, and there's a lot of education that goes into it, and there are requirements for continuing education that I think helps really kind of weed out the, I guess, part-timers and the not-so-serious ones that people tend to get caught up with, and maybe that's what leaves a bad taste in their mouths about real estate agents as a whole. But that was a quick little sidebar. I just thought it was a really interesting discussion topic. If you've got any questions or comments on that, I would love to hear them, just because I do find all of these things really interesting. My favorite part of the business is the emotional aspect of it. And so when we get to talking about these things that are more emotionally driven, it kind of excites me and kind of gets my brain thinking like, oh, I wonder what others would think about this, or, you know, I wonder kind of what the general consensus is here. So if you've got any questions or comments about that, please let me know. I'd be super interested to hear. But that's all I've got for today's episode, guys. I told you it was going to be a quick one, and we are just going to wrap up here. It is Friday. Like I said, new episodes every Friday. And I just like it because you get to end your week on a high note and head right into the weekend. Hopefully you guys are gaining something out of this podcast. As always, if you've got questions, comments, feedback, or if there's any pieces that you would like me to cover or comment on, please let me know. Your feedback is invaluable to me. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap it up here, guys. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I think the weather is supposed to be pretty nice. It's kind of all over the place today, but I think it's supposed to pick up and be pretty nice this weekend. So go sit in the sun if you've got the opportunity. Kick back, relax, and enjoy your weekend.